Hi, it's really great to have you with us. I'm Rob Porter. My wife Heather and I have the amazing privilege of being the senior pastors at Kingdom Culture Church in Burpengary, Queensland. We have an incredible preaching team, and I hope that this message will encourage and bless you as you listen.
We're going to go to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to read a story that if you've been around church circles before, you may have come across this. It's somewhat popular. It's a story that's often called the prodigal son. It's actually a story about two sons and a loving father. And we're going to start. We're going to give you the context, Luke 15, 1 to 3, and then we're going to dive in at verse 11. So it's up on the big screen. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation because it's my favorite. Deal with it. Many dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners often gathered around to listen as Jesus taught the people. This raised concerns with the Jewish religious leaders and experts of the law. Indignant, they grumbled and complained, saying, "Look at how this man associates with all these notorious sinners and welcomes them to come to him." In response, Jesus gave him these illustrations. He tells three stories, and this is the third of the three. Diving in at verse 11. Then Jesus said, "Once there was a father with two sons. The youngest son came to the father and said, 'Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me?' So the father went ahead and distributed among the two sons their inheritance. Shortly afterward, the youngest son packed up all his belongings and traveled off to see the world," going on a holiday. "He journeyed to a far-off land, where he soon wasted all that was given in a binge of extravagant and reckless living. With everything spent and nothing left, he grew hungry, for there was a severe famine in the land. So he begged a farmer in the country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. The son was so famished, he was willing to even eat the pig slop given to the pigs, because no one would feed him a thing." That's some desperate times. "Humiliated, the son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought, 'There are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back to my father's house, and I'll say to him, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I'll never be worthy to be called your son, but please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees. Treat me like a slave." Yeah. So the son left off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming, dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. Now the son said, "Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I can never deserve to be your son. Just let me be." The father interrupted and said, "You son, you're home now." Turning to his servants, the father said, "Quick, bring me the best robe, my very robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger. And bring out the best shoes you can find for your son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he is found." And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Oh, nice. Thanks. All right. Tonight, the topic of conversation that we're going to spend the next 23 minutes is found in the arms of the Father. Found in the arms of the Father. Hey, why don't you pray with me? Jesus, we just thank you that you're so overwhelming love for us. We're just caught in your beauty, and I just thank you that we get to spend some time conversing with you, but more than anything, I just ask that you would reveal your incredible love for each and every person that's in this building, that they would be so aware of how much they are loved. In your name, amen. All right, let's go. So, my mouth is parched. We're going to dive on in and hopefully we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a deep time. And hopefully you leave encouraged, blessed, excited for the week ahead. Am I right? Come on. Let's go. So the context here is Jesus is chatting, and it says that there's all these notorious sinners come around him. They're tax collectors, they're prostitutes, they're all these bad people. And this is kind of a trend that we see over and over in the life of Jesus, and it really ticks the Pharisees off. Because they're like, hey, whoa, Jesus, you're meant to be this good guy. Why are you hanging out with the bad ones? You know? Yeah. And we as Christians, we look at this and we're like, oh, these judgmental Pharisees, how dare they? All the while we go to our life group because Jesse Rose told us that we should go there. Five reasons, am I right? We turn up to Sunday, maybe even two. And we read our Bibles, well, sometimes. and then we look at the youths of the day. Am I right? Tick-tocking all the time. They're vaping. All the drugs and the sex and the crazy blue-haired ones. No offense if you have blue hair. Don't get me started on their music. Billie Eilish. Yuck. But don't we do this? Yeah. Don't we just do exactly what we're not meant to do? But Jesus is like, come on. I just feel like he must get so tired with us up in heaven, just being like, are you serious again? Yeah. But can I talk straight? Like, can I be real? Like, what do we do when like, the person, like, the crackhead strung out on drugs comes into church? Like, what do we do then? What do we do when the person who's just like, come on, it's a shower, try it, comes into church? Heather. It's not funny. It's serious. Like, what do we do when, like, those people where we're just like, I don't actually know if I want to talk to you because you got some issues, you know, you can just tell, hey? What do we do when the person who's struggling with their orientation comes in and it's obvious and we're like, oh, okay, that's a mixed bag. Like, what do we do? Because from the Bible that I read, it's like, actually, that's kind of the people that Jesus hung out with. And sometimes I don't really see him around in church. And so what are we doing? Because Jesus said, that healthy people don't need a doctor. It's the sick people. I didn't call the righteous to repentance, but the sinner. That church is less about a room full of squeaky people doing the right thing, but actually it's meant to be a hospital for spiritually broken people and emotionally damaged people, those that are going through mental issues, that they would come and they would find refuge in this place. But sometimes, I don't know if you know, the church has a little bit of a bad rep. Of being kind of judgmental, kind of, why are you hanging out with those people? We're gonna have some fun. So that's the context, and we dive on in, and there's this, and so Jesus is telling the story. There's two sons. I'm just focusing on one son. Maybe if I'm allowed back, I'll bring a part two. Who knows? Wild. But he says, he opens up and he says to the father, he says, Dad, give me my inheritance. Which at that point, the crowd would have gasped. Because that's not like, okay, Dad, I'm ready to move out. I'm a big kid. I'm 18 and I'm ready to see the world. That's not this. This isn't like, Dad, hey, I've got a business idea. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to go start something. Can I have a loan? When he says, Dad, I want my inheritance, what this is this statement is, Dad, you're dead to me. There's actually nothing left that you can give me. You're good as dead. So the Jewish crowd would have been like, you would never say that to Dad. And I would probably not say that to mine either. Good old hiding. But the wild thing is that the father says, all right. What? What is, why? And it says that the young man, I'm going to call him Johnny, just because it's weird that he doesn't have a name. So Johnny goes on a little adventure and he ends up in reckless living. And I was reading this and I was like, whew, glad that's not me. And I felt this tug in my spirit. And that's the same thing as like being called Benjamin by mum. At that point, I'm like, oh no, danger. Something bad's about to happen. And I just felt God be like, hey, actually, that's you. I was like, what? Like, this was a couple of months ago. And I was like, oh, yeah, for sure. When I was 18, I did a little bit of clubbing. I drank a little bit too much alcohol. I had a girlfriend, wasn't a Christian, you know? But that was a long time ago, you know? I'm saved. I preach now. I'm on staff. I know my Bible. I read it most days. And I'm ticking those Christian boxes, you know? And then I felt God just meet me on my high horse. And he's like, no, this was you a couple of months ago. And I was like, what? I was like, I was getting ready to marry Han. We didn't even have sex before marriage. Come on. What? Give it up for purity. Rock on. Yeah. Yeah. And she's like crazy hot. Man, I'm running out of time real quick. But he was like, no, Ben, that's you. And I was like, what do you mean? And I remember this thought that I had in a conversation that was actually with me, which kind of sounds weird. It's not, it's healthy, it's self-reflection. Maybe try it sometime. But I was having this conversation with myself and I thought, I was like, you know what? I haven't really heard God for a while. Anyone been there? And I was like, God, what do you mean? I wasn't doing bad stuff. I was living pretty good, actually. Kind of like I'm being up there with some of the best I've ever been. But I just remember him highlight that. And I kind of looked at the story and I was like, what if maybe, just maybe, part of the issue here is that it's less about the bad things he was doing and the distance he was from God. Like, what if the issue here isn't the bad things, but it's the proximity? And that kind of changed the game for me. Because I thought I wasn't like this younger brother. And then I kind of looked at it and I was like, dang, maybe I am a little bit. Like, maybe I'm going to get down off my high horse and treat this a little bit differently. Because we kind of get there a bit, don't we? If you've been in the Christian game for a while, like, we go through our highs, but then we also go through our lows. And we kind of go through seasons where things are really great, and then other times it's like, oh, God, did you hear that prayer that I prayed over and over again? And I don't really feel you, and I'm worshiping you, but it doesn't really, it's just not the same as what it was. And there's this fire, but it's kind of coals, and I don't know what's going on. Anyone with me? Yeah. Just alone, not the front. And I felt this, that it's like, because what did we lose in the beginning? Adam and Eve in the garden. At the end of every day, it says that they would walk with God in the cool of the evening. Yeah. And then Eve ate from the tree and so did Adam. And then it says that God came in the cool of the evening, but they weren't around. And I'm like, what if part of the mission of God was to restore the walk with him? That part of the thing of the devil was to separate us out from God, and part of the restoration of Jesus is to return us to the walk. Where we learn how to walk hand in hand, step in step with God. That Jesus, the life of Jesus, was one that displayed that. He says this, the Son of Man, being himself, can do nothing without the Father. That I only say the things I hear the Father saying, and I only do the things I hear him telling me to do. That Jesus lived the example of someone in complete unity with the Father. Oh, wow. Father, give me my inheritance. Like, don't we fall into this as a church? You know, like we get our salvation and we're like, sweet, I'ma just do my thing from here. You know, cool, I've got my golden ticket to heaven and I'ma just live my life from now on. You know, what job am I going to do? Who knows? Probably not going to pray about it. Wow. Ah. We wake up in the morning and we're like, all right, I've got my jobs, I've got my list, I've got my things, I'm a J, I do things in order. Didn't even pray about it. Like, don't we fall into this as a people? Yeah. Oh, wow. And then the distance ends up in destruction. We know it. We've seen it. I preached about it 3 weeks ago. Listen to the podcast. But we end up in that, and then we try live in this world, and we try and do our own thing. And this guy is the epitome of selfish ambition. I'ma try it on my own. I'ma do this world on my own, in my own strength, in my own doing. And inevitably, it ends in hunger, poverty, emptiness. That's the life without God. That's the life when we're without him. So he comes to the end of himself and he says, I'm going to go home. Yeah. Come on. That's exciting. Yeah. And so he says, he's like going along. And he's like, creates this little prayer and this little speech that he's going to bring before the Father. Father, please forgive me. I'm not even worthy to be in your family. I'm not worthy to be a son. Would you just make me a servant? And how many times have we gone to God saying the same prayer for the same sin over and over again, walking back in, our head in shame, being like, damn it, I did it again. Don't worry, it gets better. It gets better. Says that the Father sees him and he looks. He sees him with incredible eyes of love and he embraces him, which is kind of the wildest thing. The crowd would have been like, what is going on? But then he does something crazy. He gives him a robe. A robe? Ha! Yes, a robe. But not just any robe. What kind of robe? The Bible describes it, the Greeks calls it the protos robe. Everyone say protos. Protos. Which is where we get the word prototype. Say prototype.
Prototype.
Brilliant, we're learning. This is fantastic, I'm a teacher. So he calls it the protos robe. Protos, where we get the word prototype, means the former, the original, the chief, or the first. Yeah. The former, the principal, the chief, or the first. I've got this robe. It's pretty fantastic. I got it, strangely, while I stayed in a hotel in Cambodia. Yeah, I know. I was on a somewhat of a ministry trip. It was quite a nice, fancy one. And I'm going to put it on. But to be honest, it's one of the hotel ones, which you're probably not meant to take. God, forgive me again for stealing. I'm here again. And how do I look? But it's like, so this robe, I think this is probably the second time I've put it on outside of Cambodia. The first was in my bedroom and I was like, ooh, a robe. I actually don't know why people wear these. But the thing about this is it brings me fantastic fond memories of Cambodia. It takes me back. It transports me back into the room. It was a lavish room. But it's like, you know, do you know the same thing with like smells?
Yeah.
And when you have a smell, you're like, and it just takes you back to a memory or like a song, you know, like certain songs take you back. Han always reminds me of different songs that relate to different parts of our relationship. And I'm not a song guy. And I'm like, cool, fantastic. And but this robe takes me back. The Father says, get the Protos robe. Get the former robe. That the first thing the Father did was to remind him of the robe he used to wear when he was in the family. It was a reminder that, hey, son, who came to him disheveled, dirty, disgraced, came. He's like, hey, I see what you're wearing, but I need to remind you of one thing. I've got this robe, but not just any robe. It's the robe you used to wear when you were in my family. It's the robe you used to wear before you left. It's your robe. Remember it, son? And I preached a few weeks ago about Peter, how Peter gets called the same way by Jesus. Where Jesus comes and he does the same miracle and he says the same words of follow me, because the thing is true that the same dreams are still true. The same way that I called you beforehand, I call you now. Hey, Johnny, I see you back, but I've got the robe, because even though you've left and even though you've been up to no good, guess what? The dreams are still the same. Your place is still the same. I see you as the same son before you left and before you did that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wonder in this place, what same things does Jesus want to dig up? Like, what things have you let go since that porn addiction? Like, what dreams and callings were there before that relationship fell apart and you kind of went wandering? Like, what things, those dreams and those ambitions and that calling and that, just that desire for ministry that you've let go since you got hurt?
Yeah.
It's the robe. But not just this, but the Bible calls the robe the garment of salvation. It's the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness. That this is how he sees every single believer, that we are clothed in righteousness. That it's not the things that you do that could ever impress God. That it's never your actions. This is the beauty of the Christian message, that it's not your works, it's not your doing, it's not your actions, but it is simply only ever the love of the Father. Come on. Says that he gives him a ring. Gives him a ring. And it's the authority of the family. You know those old school movies where they like have the letter and it's really cool and they wrote it with a quill and the ink and then they melt the wax and they stamp it?
Yeah.
And it's got the little symbol of the family?
Yeah.
That's the ring. It wasn't some bling ring. It was the family ring. So not only do you have the robe that says that I don't look at your past and I don't look at your actions, I see you now as perfect. You're actually also welcome in the family. Not only do you belong here, you're welcome here. Even though you left and you betrayed me, I trust you. Oh, wow. The crowd. What? And he gives him some sandals. The thing about sandals is that slaves don't wear sandals. Slaves don't wear sandals. The son came along and he said, I'm not worthy to be part of the family, would you just make me a slave? Jesus, I messed up again. I'm so sorry, but if you take me in, I'll serve you. I humble my life down before you. If you would just forgive me, I'll serve you. I'll do anything for you. And he picks him up and he puts sandals on his feet. Because he says, hey, you've come here and you wanted to be a slave, but guess what? You don't get to leave like that. You get to leave as a son, Johnny. You get to leave as a daughter because I love you, because I have greater plans than this. And there's a false humility in the church that says that we have to be scared before God. And he's so reverent that we're not able to come close, but we have to look in fear. I'm sorry, but that doesn't align with this story. That the Bible actually says that we now, being made perfect, are able to boldly enter into the throne room of grace. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he's invited us into. That the picture of marriage is between a bride and a groom. When Han came, she didn't come and bow lowly before me and said, Ben, please take me, my master. No, she walked in confidently in some very beautifully and splendor, but she walked in and she carried herself and she stood face to face with me. And that is our position before God as sons and as daughters, that we boldly enter in. Because we're fully accepted. Oh, man, imagine if the world knew that. Imagine if the youth today understood that it's not because of what they did, but it's the extravagant love of a father that hung on a cross, that gave up his life, and it said, hey, it's not your actions, it's not the thing you do, but it's because of me that you're made perfect, you're made righteous. That we wouldn't look with judgmental eyes at those that don't seem to behave the way that we expect them to, that don't believe the same things that we expect them to believe. KCC, would we be a church where people are allowed to belong? Yeah. Belong before they behave. Yeah. Belong before they believe. That they would be accepted as they are. But not just accepted, but would we clothe them with righteousness? When they come in here with shame, disgrace, dirty, would we say, hey, there's a different way. God loves you and he's made you different. When we put a ring on them that says, hey, you're welcome here and we trust you. I don't care about your story. I don't care about your journey. I don't care about what you've been through, but you're accepted. Oh, wow. Hey, Ben, why don't you join me? And if you all just want to stand, there's one little part of the story that I skipped on over. And it's this part where the father runs. And I was chatting with the head of campus at Altar One, Derek. And he was telling me, he's like, do you know why he ran? And I was like, oh, I think I know. And he looked at my face and he knew I didn't. And he said, it's because he was wearing a tunic, which is kind of like a masculine skirt. And to run, he would have pulled it up. And not wearing underwear, he would have exposed himself.
that though the son was walking in shame, he's like, son, I see that you're in shame. I'm gonna make myself look shameful. I'm gonna humiliate myself in public because I love you. But there's this thing called a kezazah. It's a Jewish term. And what would have happened if someone spent their money in the Jewish town? If they would have spent their money outside of a Jewish place in a foreign land, which he did, the kezazah says that the community would come around them. They would get this. They would fill it with fruit or grain or beans, and they would smash a pot in front of the person. And the thing is that the smashing of the pot says that your seed is no longer, you should not bear children, you don't deserve to be here. You're cut off from this community. The kezazah means cutting off, and it's a ceremonial, and this man, Johnny, never deserved to be part of the community because of what he did, his actions. And so when they hear that the father runs, the crowd would have gasped. He ran, but he didn't deserve that. He deserved to get kicked out. He deserved to not belong there. He deserved to not be welcome. He deserved to never set foot in that church again. Hey, this is the good news. This is the gospel, that no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've walked through, no matter where you've been and turned away, the Father, he not only accepts you, but he loves you. He believes in you and he welcomes you. He trusts you and he wants to be with you.
Yes.
And more than anything, he wants to give you a loving hug. That,
yeah.
I believe that more than anything tonight, there's the need for the loving embrace of a father. Tell you that you're loved,
yeah.
To tell you that you belong, to tell you it's not about what you've done or what you've been through, but you would just be there wrapped up in his arms because he loves you. It's a church tonight. We're going to sing Yeshua,
yeah.
The beautiful name of the name of God.
Yes.
And if you're here and you're like, I've been walking, I've been wandering, I've been through it. I don't deserve to be here. I don't belong here. Man, you might have walked in here and you're full of shame, and maybe you fit into the notorious sinner. I've got to tell you, you're so welcome.
Yeah.
Jesus loves you so deeply. He wants to restore you. He wants to let you know that those dreams and those ambitions that you've let die are still there. That he wants to clothe you in his righteousness. He wants to let you know that you are the most beloved child.
Yes, God.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's message. Our hope is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, we'd like to invite you to begin your journey with him today. When we read scripture, we see that sin separates us from God, but that our relationship with God is restored by salvation through Jesus Christ. This happens because God gave Jesus his son to die in our place, to deal with the sin problem, and he rose again so that we can have eternal life with him. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we can know salvation today. If you're ready to do that, and turn from a life of sin, then pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Saviour. Amen. If you've prayed this prayer for the first time today, we would love to know and reach out to you and support you. So please contact us at hello@kingdomculturechurch.com.au.